Okay, good morning, everybody. Parshas Kisisa is a parsha where there's an enormous amount to talk about, to discuss. I like to bring out a little bit of a different flavor and a bit of a different focus in Parshas Kisisa. I also would like to use Parshas Kisisa as a springboard to take a look at the Haftorah and even to take a closer look at Megillas Esther. I believe there is a very common denominator between Parshas Kisisa, the Haftorah of Parshas Kisisa, which often there is a strong correlation between the Parsha and the Haftorah, but I'd like to bring out a new thought about what exactly that commonality is and use that as a springboard to start talking about Megillas Esther as Bezos Hashem Yisbarach, Purim Haba Aleinu Letova. I'd like to start, however, with a question and put ourselves into a bit of a context in terms of where we find ourselves in Parshas HaShavua. Parshas Kisisa, of course, the highlight, which is really the wrong word, but the focal point of Parshas Kisisa is really the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, Klal Yisrael's grievous error, sin, mistake, transgression that they made, not waiting long enough for Moshe Rabbeinu to return, and ultimately their idol worship, the Avodah Zarah that they committed, set them up on a path of complete destruction. But let's try to understand how this all emerged and how this all came about and ask what seems to be a very simple question. Klal Yisrael are very, very, very recently immigrants of Mitzrayim. They were in bondage, enslaved, incarcerated in Mitzrayim upwards of 200 years, painful, difficult, challenging years. However, miraculously, biyadcha hagdola, ubzuracha netuya kadosh baruch hu, b'chvod uva'atzmo, releases Bnei Yisrael from bondage through a series of incredible miracles. 10 Makos, the Aseres HaMakos, culminating with Makos Bechoros, showed not only the Mitzrim, but also the Jewish people, their very strong correlation with God and their strength and their ability to be able to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw God's might, they saw God's strength. They saw the Hashkacha Pratis, the incredible way that God looks after closely Bnei Yisrael. They saw how God turned blood to water and water to blood, snakes into serpents and serpents into snakes. Makos Bechoros, incredible, incredible miracle after miracle after miracle. And there's no question that, as Chazal say, immediately after leaving Mitzrayim, they crossed the Yam Suf in the most miraculous way. That Chazal say, Ra Shifcha al Hayam, Mashallah Ra Yecheskel ben Buzi. Even the simple maidservant, the most simple Jew, leaving Mitzrayim and crossing the Yam Suf, saw God in a way that not even the greatest of Jewish prophets, Yecheskel, was able to see God. So therefore, we're talking about a people who are living on a very, very high spiritual plane. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and it didn't end there because, as we're all familiar, Klal Yisrael then immediately traveled to Har Sinai and to Matan Torah and Kabbalah Sator, and then there again they saw the amazing sounds and the miracles, and they saw God's might in another incredible way. Moshe Rabbeinu emerges, climbs up to Har Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes down, Vayered al Har Sinai. So to a certain extent, this is, in Jewish history, the greatest year, the greatest time period, the greatest months in the Jewish people's lives, where they're seeing God, interacting with God, and feeling God's closeness in a very, very intense way. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Matan Torah. However, in a matter of days, weeks, a little bit over a month, 40 days later, everything that they have been privy to, everything that they have seen, everything that they have witnessed comes crumbling down in a very, very intense way. So much so, the Torah describes Saru Maher Min Haderach. The Jewish people very quickly fell apart, so dramatically and so powerfully. Everything comes down, almost like the greater you are, the harder you fall. This is what we see in the nation. The greater that we have become, the harder that we have fallen. With all of the miracles, with all of the majesty, and with all of the connection to God, and with all that they have seen and witnessed and been testimony to, all of a sudden comes the Egel Azav, and let's ask a very simple, a very basic question. What happened? What went wrong? How is it feasible? How is it possible that a nation that was Zocha, that merited the miracles that they did in Egypt, that merited the ability to leave Mitzrayim, al kanfei nesharim, they saw the sea split, they saw God, b'chvod of atzma, they heard God's voice, anochi Hashem alokech asher tzisicha meretz Mitzrayim, lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. 40 days later, that they should fall so fast? 40 days later, that everything that they saw, everything that they witnessed, everything that they were testimony should just go by the wayside? How could they build this Egel? How could they build and serve and worship Avodah Zarah? How is that feasible? How is that possible? We all have to scratch our heads and ask ourselves, what's a very simple question? We can't look at Parshas Ki Sisa simply in a box and not understand it in light of the previous Parshios, Shmos, Va'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, Mishpat, and we're talking about Klal Yisrael at the highest level that they have ever reached, that they have ever attained. And all of a sudden, so quickly, they worship Avodah Zarah. They fall apart, and they're scared, and they're frightened, and they're unable to do anything. They're handcuffed and handicapped, that they're forced to commit and do Avodah Zarah, that they grab Aaron. And Aaron recognizes the trouble. And Aaron, of course, sort of tries to delay and procrastinate the way that the Ramban explains the pasuk when Aaron says, Chag Lashem Machar, he's telling them, wait, don't worship Avodah Zarah. Just wait another day, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back. But what happened to the Jewish people? How do we understand that? And of course, in light of that understanding, we can understand ourselves a little bit better, how sin works, how sin is crouching at and crouching at our door, and how a human being can be at the pinnacle, at the apex, at the climax, and so quickly fall apart. This question is raised by Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in his Sichos Musar, in a drasha and a sicha that he delivered, Parshas Vayakel Pekudei Tav Shin Lamed Gimel, printed in his Sefer. And he says such a powerful psychological analysis and such a deep understanding of human psyche and the human being that it weighs on all of us to understand and to appreciate what he explains. And says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, let's look back at each of these events. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Matan Torah. There's a common denominator between these three seminal events, these three greatest events that the Jewish people witness. What's the common denominator? We were witnesses. We saw, we watched, but we didn't do. We were passive. We were standing by. We were passerbys. We were watching miracles. We saw from Dam till Makas Bechoros. What did we have to do with it? Nothing. We watched the miracles that God performed. We were witness to them. We were the testimony that this is what occurred. We saw Kabbalah Satorah. We walked through the sea. But what did we do? We didn't do much. We didn't do anything. And therefore explains Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, there's a difference between being an active participant and being a passive follower. When a person is passive in their service of Hashem, when a person is passive in their spirituality, it's in one ear and out the other. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Even though you could witness the greatest of all events, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Matan Torah. You could be there, you could watch it, you could see it, you could hear God say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'etz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. You could see the splitting of the sea. You could watch blood turn to water and vice versa. You could see God pass over the door of the Bechor and the door of every Jewish home, and you could see God smite the Bechorim. But if you don't have a hand in it, and you're not involved, and you're not engaged, and you're just watching, and you're a stander by, standing by, you're a bystander, you're watching, but you're not engaged and you're not involved, it's here today and gone tomorrow. Thus, explains Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, is how we can understand the pasuk in Parshas Ki Sisa, Saru Maher Min Haderech. We so quickly fell apart, only 40 days later from the moment that we were sitting at Matan Torah and exclaimed, Na'aseh V'nishma, we will do and we will hear passionately. Only months after witnessing the splitting of the sea and the Exodus, all of a sudden we fall apart because whatever we saw and witnessed and were testimony to, we didn't really have a hand in. We didn't proactively get involved. Whether it's our fault or not is not the issue. That's the way it was, and that's what occurred, that's what happened. God took us out of Egypt. God himself did everything. The sea split and we saw and witnessed Matan Torah. But when Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people as a nation, are not passionately involved, they're not passionately engaged, they're not pushing themselves to the limits, and they're not engaged on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, in avodas Hashem, in the service of Hashem, it's not going to last. There's not going to be continuity. There won't be perpetuity. And ultimately, that's the reason that everything came apart, everything unraveled, everything fell down. And therefore, that's how all of a sudden, saru maher min aderach, we quickly crumble down. Chaim Shmulevitz cites the famous statement of Chazal, the Gemara Maseches Megillah, Yagati umatsasi tamin. If a person wants to be successful, if a person wants to see success spiritually, it's only yagati. It's only through hard work. It's only through painstaking labor. Then matsasi, then you could find that that's true emuna, that's ta'amin. That's when a Jew is able to succeed. And therefore, the approach of bystander Judaism and the approach of being passive in our service of Hashem is something that we have to contemplate, something that we need to consider, something that we need to work on. And of course, Jewish communities and Jewish people who simply watched and who simply were living traditional Judaism but weren't engaged in the books and the text and not involved in shul and not involved in study, not involved in Torah and tefillah. Such communities and such people are unable to see long-term success. And continuity and perpetuity in Yiddishkeit must be based upon our involvement, our engagement in going and doing and moving and climbing. This background and this setting really explains the rest of Parshas Ki Sisa, the aftermath of the Egel Hazav, and much as I will show you in Parshas HaShavua, Haftoras HaShavua, as well as Megillas Esther. There was somewhat of a tikkun, a possibility that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to see in the aftermath of the Egel. Did Klal Yisrael learn their lesson? Are they able to understand and to appreciate that times have changed? It's not just the way it was in Mitzrayim and the Midbar that we could just watch and be bystanders. But Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Jewish people when he sees what has occurred. And immediately after Moshe smashes the tablets, Moshe Rabbeinu sees his people distraught, upset, and angered as a result of what happens. And in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chavav, page 500, in the art scroll, Stone Chumash, Vayamod, Moshe Bashar HaMachaneh. Moshe stands up. Moshe gets up. In the gateway of the camp, Vayomer, and he exclaims famously, Mi LaHashem Eli. And I believe with the background of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, we could re-understand and reframe Moshe's question. Mi LaHashem Eli means, who's going to follow me? Not just bystanders, but who's going to take action? Who's going to stand up? And that's what the Torah tells us, Vayamod Moshe. Moshe gets up. It's no longer just about me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. But for Klal Yisrael to be successful, it can't just be about the leader. It can't just be that you are followers. But there needs to be something else. You are going to have to be active. And you're going to have to get involved. And that's Moshe's question to the people. Mi LaHashem Eli. Are you going to follow me? Are you just going to watch? Are you just going to be bystanders? Are you just going to be passive in your service of Hashem? Who is going to respond? Will Klal Yisrael respond to this fundamental question of Mi LaHashem Eli? And unfortunately, only five words, and only fortunately, only one shevet responds to Moshe's cry. Vayeosfu Elov Kol Bnei Levi. Tribe of Levi. Shevet Levi responds accordingly. Shevet Levi responds with passion, with commitment, with fervor, with intensity. And what does Shevet Levi do? They follow Moshe and they wipe out the Jews who are engaged and involved in idol worship. And thus we see a beginning of Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, who are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. As the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Shevet Levi are the teachers of Torah. Shevet Levi are the top echelon, the top class of the Jewish people because of this event. And it's for this reason that Shevet Levi ultimately serves in the Beis HaMikdash. Up until this point, it would be the Bechorim, the firstborn who would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. But when the Bechorim didn't respond, and when the Bechorim were passive, and when the Bechorim sat back and were simply bystanders and didn't respond to Moshe's question, but Shevet Levi responded with fervor, with intensity, with excitement and enthusiasm. Vayesfu elav kol bnei Levi. Moshe understood that these are the people that I want to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And ultimately, that is exactly what occurred. Shevet Levi serves in the Mishkan. Shevet Levi serves in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a phenomenal story. I'm sure I've shared it with you before, but it's valuable in many different contexts, but really, really in this context, the well-known story that occurred in the year 1930. Rav Shimon Schwab, later who became the great leader of German Jewry, the rabbi of the German community in Baltimore and Washington Heights, was a young man who was a yeshiva bacher studying in the Mir Yeshiva, and he traveled from Germany to the Mir in Eastern Europe where he studied, and on his way back, and of course then you didn't go back for Shabbos, you didn't even go back for Yontif, you went once and you came back. And Rav Shimon Schwab was traveling back toward the end of what's known as the Wintersman, the winter semester, this time of year, as Purim and Pesach were approaching. It was Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, 1930. Rabbi Schwab traveling back from Radin to Germany to be with his parents for the Yom Tov of Pesach, had the opportunity and the fortune of spending one Shabbos in Radin with the Chafetz Chaim. And he dafka stopped off in Radin to spend Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim, and he understood that there would be much that he could learn in staying within the confines and within the space and place, the city of the Chafetz Chaim, the saintly sage of Israel, Bishol Meir Cohen Kagan. He only died several years later, 1933. And Rav Schwab, throughout his lectures and his very glorious career, speaking and writing, would speak about this Shabbos in many, many different occasions. But there's one story that he recounted over and over again. He appeared to the Chafetz Chaim and came to his door, 1930, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, knocked on the Chafetz Chaim's door and introduced himself as Shimon Schwab, a German Jew who's traveling to Germany back from Radin, where he was studying. And the Chafetz Chaim looks at him, and the first thing he says to him is, "Are you a Kohen?" And Rav Schwab responds, "No." The Chafetz Chaim then says to Rav Shimon Schwab, who was then Shimon, he said, "Are you a Levi?" And he says, "No." Shimon Schwab is dumbfounded and confused and shocked. Here it is, the saintly sage, the Gadol B'Yisrael, the pious one. The Chafetz Chaim starts challenging him. Is he a Kohen? Is he a Levi? And then the Chafetz Chaim blurts out and exclaims, "I'm a Kohen." And he turns again to Rav Shimon Schwab and asks him, "Why are you not a Kohen?" So Rav Schwab says, "My father's not a Kohen." Chafetz Chaim says, "Well, why is your father not a Kohen?" He says, "Because his father wasn't a Kohen." And at that point, Rav Shimon Schwab understood clearly the Chafetz Chaim had a message that he was trying to send this young student. The Chafetz Chaim says, "I'll tell you why you're not a Kohen, and I'll tell you why I'm a Kohen." 3,000 years ago, following the terrible sin, the transgression of the Egel Hazav, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Jewish people, the pasuk that we just read, "Vayamor Moshe b'shar ha'machaneh v'yomer mi l'Hashem elai, who is going to be with me?" And who responded? Vayesfu elav kol b'nei Levi. And says the Chafetz Chaim, at that moment that changed history, at that moment, Shevet Levi responded and said that we are going to be with you, Moshe. We are going to be proactive. We're going to push and we're going to be the trailblazers. And at that moment, explained the Chafetz Chaim, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu decided that Shevet Levi will serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The reason that I'm a Kohen, the reason, says the Chafetz Chaim, that I will be privy to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and enter into the Beis HaMikdash and Lifnai V'Lifnim, into the Holy of Holies, on the holiest day of the year, the Kohen Gadol enters, is because of what my grandparents and my ancestors did. And as a result of their proactivity, as a result of them taking action, I ultimately am a Kohen today and you are not. And the Chafetz Chaim turned to Shimon Schwab and said to him, "One day you also will get the call. Mi l'Hashem elai. In your own life, in your own times, in your own situation, the proverbial words, mi l'Hashem elai, will ring. And the question is, will you respond? And will you also do what you are supposed to do?" And the Chafetz Chaim explained to Rabbi Shimon Schwab that this is every single Jew's calling, not to be passive, not to be a bystander, but to be a person who takes action, to be a person who's revolutionary, to be a person who's willing to stand up for what's right and to do what you're supposed to do. And this is what makes the difference between Judaism that's meaningful and real and Yiddishkeit that's simply just something else on our plates. And this Mila Hashem Elai, this call to B'nai Yisrael that Moshe made, and the inability that Klal Yisrael had to respond, simply follows this path of apathy that they have shown up until this point, the passivity that they were involved in throughout Kriyas Yamsuf, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, continues. Shevet Levi understood the lesson, and thus they become the Levim. And the Chafetz Chaim ultimately will enter the Mikdash. And this is what he told Reb Shimon Trump, you won't, because of a mistake and a decision that your ancestors made, that's why you are a Yisrael. But because of the mistake that I and my ancestors did not make, I am able ultimately to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, la'asid lava. This is the approach, and this is what I believe is really the theme of Parshas Kisisa. It's the ability to stand up and to be strong. It's the ability to do what you are supposed to do, to make decisions, and to do what's right. And I believe if you take an even closer look at Parshas Kisisa, you see the same thing happen again. Immediately, as Klal Yisrael are told, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Psol lecha luchos avanim," make for yourself a second set of luchos. And all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu climbs up the mountain, goes up to Har Sinai again. And a second set of luchos are given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu brings those down. And we all know, and we're all familiar, that the first luchos, of course, as we just described, were smashed, destroyed to smithereens. The second luchos lasted for posterity, for perpetuity. And the Mefarshei HaChumash asked the question, why the difference? Why were we unable to keep the first luchos as opposed to the second luchos? What changed? What was such a dramatic difference between the first and the second luchos? Why were we unable to keep the first luchos as opposed to the second luchos, which lasted forever? Mefarshei HaChumash explained exactly this point. The first luchos were given to us passively. We watched. We saw, we were bystanders, no different than Yetzias Mitzrayim, no different than Kriyas Yamsuf, no different than Matan Torah. We also just received the first luchos. But the second luchos were different. The second luchos we had to work for. The second luchos we had to strive for. The second luchos we understood that we made a mistake. We had to correct our ways. We had to change our actions. We had to do tshuva. We weren't just going to receive the luchos the way that we received everything else up until this point on a golden or on a silver platter. But at this point, we needed to do something different. And it's for this reason that the second luchos lasts forever. And these are the luchos that remain. And these are the luchos that remain whole. Because we worked for them. We did something. Yogati umotsasi tamin. We fought for them. We understood that the only way to have the luchos, only way to have the Torah, is if there's yegia. And the yegia is exactly that. We made a mistake. We corrected. And the second luchos speak to Yagati Umatsasi Tamin, speak to the fact that when there's tshuva and there's a mistake and we correct our ways, that makes us even stronger. Vahi erev, vahi boker. First comes erev, first comes difficulty, first comes struggle. Vahi boker, the light only emerges after the darkness, and the light is even lighter and brighter and stronger if we make a mistake. And the night allows the day to come. Tshuva allows for a stronger Klal Yisrael. Sometimes even sin allows us to recognize our mistakes. For the first time, Klal Yisrael begin to recognize that they have to shift their approach, shift their attitude in what Avodas Hashem is all about. We're not bystanders, we're not passive. We can't just watch the sea split, we can't just hear Matan Torah, we can't just see exactly what occurred throughout the Makos, but we need to do something. And thus the second luchos speak to that, and those luchos last forever. And this message, which Reb Chaim Shmulevitz develops, and this message which we are showing in Parshas Kisisa continues. If you take a look at page 504 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu receives the vision of all visions, the vision that nobody else, no other prophet, has ever been witness to. Moshe speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim el panim, face to face, kasher yedaber ish el re'ehu, as if man speaks to man. This was Moshe's strength and his ability, and the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is on a heightened level and trumps every other prophet. And the Torah continues in Perek Lamed Gimel, chapter 33, pasuk yed aleph, umishar so Yehoshua ben Nun, and Moshe's shamis, Moshe's servant, lo yamish mitoch ha'ol, never moved from the ohel. Now, what do we know about Yehoshua? What's so unique about Yehoshua? So look what the Torah tells us. He's a na'ar. He's a lad. And the Mefarshei HaChumash say, a lad? Yehoshua's 56 years old. He's not a lad. Say the Olam understands that he was 42. But 42 or 56, nobody calls that person a lad. That's not a na'ar. What is the Torah telling us? Yimashar so Yehoshua benu na'ar lo yamish misoch ha'ol. He didn't leave the ohel. How do you understand that word nar when he's a man of 56 or 42? Many, many different ways to approach this, many different mefarshei HaChumash, but Rabbi Yitzchak Saratzkin in his Sefer Rinas Yitzchak explains that nar doesn't mean an age. Nar means an attitude, an approach. You could be 42 and 56 and 86 and 100, but you could act like a nar. You could act like you are young. You could act like you are fervent with power, with excitement, and with enthusiasm. And this is the mead of Yeshua, because Yeshua understood, in order for the continuity of Bnei Yisrael, in order to be successful, my mental and cognitive approach, my heart and my soul has to be young. And my passion and my vision is one of a youngster. And I'm not just going to decay, and I'm not just going to watch and be passive, but I'm going to be aggressive and proactive like a nar. Even though I'm 56, even though I'm 42, even though I'm 70 and 80 and 90 and 100, I'm going to keep on pushing. And it's Dafka Yehoshua who's going to be the continuity, the servant of Moshe, because this is Moshe's whole approach in life. Mila Shem Elai, because Moshe understands that the only way for Klal Yisrael to be successful is if there's going to be a leader who's going to have the attitude of a nar, who's going to live the life of a nar. What do they say? That childhood is wasted on the young. Our goal is to be children and to be young when we're older, and to learn from Yeshua to be a nar in our approach to Yiddishkeit, in our approach to everything that we do. Being young is an approach, is an attitude. And really living with passion, with excitement, and with enthusiasm, that's who Yeshua is, following the path of Moshe. And thus the tides are turning post the Egel. And the aftermath of the Egel Hazav is this ability to be people who are going to be passionate, who are going to be excited, and who are going to be different. And it's no surprise that at the end of Parshas Kisisa, we are introduced to the Moadim, beginning with Pesach. And then the Torah describes all of the Moadim very quickly. Chag Shavuos, Shalosh Pe'amim Bashani, Erechol Zuchurchas Pnei Adon, Hashem Elkei Yisrael. What do we know about the Yamim Tovim? Who creates the Yamim Tovim? Mikadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. And thus Parshas Kisisa concludes with the Yom Tovim, with the Shalosh Regalim, because what are the Shalosh Regalim all about? The Shalosh Regalim we affect. We execute. We create. Shabbos is Kitshav Akayim. Shabbos comes, we're passive. And we watch Shabbos enter. And Shabbos comes every seventh day. But for Yom Tov to emerge, it has to be Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Parshas Kisisa concludes with the introduction and with the sweeping remark about all of the Shalosh Regalim, Dafka, Pesach, Chodesh, Av, spring is coming. Spring means I'm a new chicken. I'm waking up again. I'm alive. I'm fresh. I have a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, the same way that when you look out at nature and the birds are chirping and the trees begin to emerge and to bloom. The spiritual world emerges and begins again. And our spirituality and our approach to our service of Hashem can't be one of passivity, but one of proactivity and action. And this is Parshas Kisisa, and this is why the Torah concludes the Parsha with the Shalosh Regalim. Ki b'chodesh ha'aviv yotzasam mimitzrayim. Chodesh Aviv is the spring. It's the time of a new beginning, of a fresh start, and that's the attitude, the approach that we have to have in all of our service of Hashem. This was the downfall, the reason for the Egel. And the Soru Maher Min Aderech is all because of passivity. And the way that we're misaking, the way that we fix, the way that we are fix everything and all the mistakes that we made is through action, through working, through yegia umatzasi tamen. And this, I believe, if you take a look in the Haftarah for Parshas Kisisa, is exactly what occurs. Sefer Malachim, Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, page 1160. The famous encounter of Elio at Har HaKarmel with Achav and Izebel. Klal Yisrael, if you're familiar historically, in our very, very difficult predicament and a very hard time. The idol worship is becoming very intensified. And of course, the terrible king Achav, the worst of all Jewish kings, and Queen Izebel, who was a terrible woman, together begin to introduce Avodah Zarah into the kingdom of Klal Yisrael as they lead Malchus Beis Yisrael. And there's yet one prophet who remains faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Navi describes and the Haftarah describes. It's just me, Eliyahu says. I'm the only one that's faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in a very similar dialogue, in a very similar setting that takes place by the Egel, where Moshe Rabbeinu has to stand up against everybody, so too Eliyahu has to stand up against everybody, including Nevi'im and prophets who have been turned the other way. And Eliyahu is sent to hiding because he has a death sentence on his head. Izebel and Ahav want to kill him for remaining faithful to God and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And instead of just hiding, Eliyahu emerges. And Eliyahu stands up and he says, I'm not going to be passive. I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to just hide and allow Izebel and Ahav to take over Klal Yisrael and allow Nevi'ei Hashem to be influenced and then allow Klal Yisrael to fall prey to the intents of Avodah Zarah that's sweeping across the Jewish nation. And twice, if not three times, Eliyahu turns and he says, I am Eliyahu, I'm not going to hide. Go tell Ahav, I am Eliyahu. I'm not running, I'm not hiding, I'm not going to be in secret anymore. But I'm going to stand up. Hine Eliyahu, over and over again, the parsha seems to indicate, just like Moshe Rabbeinu's, Mila Hashem Elai, Hine Eliyahu, here I am. And it doesn't end. And the Torah tells us in the Navi, Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, page 1160. Halohuga la Adoni es asher asisi baharog Izebel snevi Hashem. I know that Izebel has killed, has murdered the prophets, the true prophets of Hashem. Va'achpa menevi Hashem me'a ish v'chamishim chamishim ish b'marav v'chalkim lechem v'mayim. I know that you are taking care of the Nevi'im, the true, honest prophets. And again says Eliyahu, I'm telling you, I'm going to stand up. And Eliyahu faces Ahav. Vahi kiros Ahav es Eliyahu. Ahav sees Eliyahu. And in the famous statement of Ahav, Vayomer Ahav elav hataze ocher Yisrael. Ahav turns to Eliyahu and says, are you the troubler of Israel? And what will Eliyahu do when he's confronted by this nasty murderer, Ahav, who all he wants to do is to spread Avodah Zarah throughout the Jewish nation? Eliyahu responds in Pasuk Yeches, Vayomer lo acharti es Yisrael. I have not made trouble to the Jewish people. Ki im ata uveisavicha ba'ozvecham es mitzvas Hashem v'telech achrei abalim to his face. Eliyahu says, no, I'm not the trouble. You're the trouble. You're the one who is inspiring Avodah Zarah and danger throughout the Jewish nation. And then Eliyahu faces Ahav and follows up and says, if you're so strong and you think you're so correct, you gather all of your people and we'll meet at Har HaKarmel and we'll see who's correct and we'll see who's right. And Eliyahu continues to face and continues to stay strong. Ahav collects all of his people. Eliyahu collects his people. And in the famous statement in Pasuk of Aleph, Ayigash Eliyahu Kolaam, listen what Eliyahu tells of people who are distraught and forlorn, similar to what's taking place at the Egel. Vayomer Mosa etem poschem al shnei seifim. How long are you going to walk between two different opinions? How long are you going to live a life that's fake? How long are you going to live a life that's simply double standard? An Mosei atem poschem al shnei asifim. Im Hashem hu Elokim luchu acharav, v'maba luchu acharav. Make a decision. But don't be fake. Don't be passive. Don't just say, be a yes man to this group and to this group. Decide. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to believe in? Who is your God? Is it Hashem hu Elokim? Is it Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Or is it the Baal, is Avodah Zarah? Make that decision. And Eliyahu continues to face off with Ahav and tells him, scream to your gods and see if you are correct. Yell out and exclaim and see if there's going to be a response. And of course, by the end of the day, we know what occurs. Eliyahu is responded to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayar kol ha'am, the last pasuk in the Haftorah. Vayiplu al pneim vayomra Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. And no longer is there passivity, but there's proactivity. Klal Yisrael exclaim, not just Shevet Levi, but Vayar Kol Ha'am, all of Klal Yisrael respond in Pasuk Lamites, the last Pasuk in the Haftorah. Vayomru Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. And of course, that's how we conclude all of the davening on Yom Kippur, in the most powerful tefillah of Ne'ilah, Hashem Hu Elokim, and everybody exclaims it, because we're not passive in our service and our avodas Hashem. We're all engaged, we're all involved, and we when we exclaim those words, those three powerful words, Hashem Hu Elokim, we go back to this event in the Navi Malachim when Eliyahu teaches Klal Yisrael, just like Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Klal Yisrael, in the aftermath of the Egla of the Avodah Zarah, the aftermath of the Baal in the Navi Malachim. This is not the way to serve Hashem. There's only one way to serve Hashem. It's proactivity. It's getting involved. It's Yigati U'matzasi Tamin. It's Hashem Hu Elokim. It's being a Nar. Being young and being passionate in your service of Hashem. This approach is the approach where each and every single Jew is engaged and involved. And when we're engaged and we're involved, then there's never any option of Saru Maher Min HaDerech. And it's for that reason that we push Torah study. It's for that reason that we push Tefillah. And the intensity of Torah, and the more a person learns, the more a person is engaged. And it's not a matter of time or hours, but it's on a regular basis. Torah and tefillah are what secure a Jew's success in their service of Hashem, and what secures a community's success, and what secures Klal Yisrael's continuity. The engagement, the action, the proactivity, the being involved, that's who we are, that's what we are. And if you take a look in Megillas Esther, I believe this, the turning point in the Megillah, is toward the end of Perek Dalet, chapter 4. If you have the art scroll stone, Chumash, it's on 1256. Immediately after Ahasuerus lets out his decree and explains that the entire people are going to be destroyed, Bikesh, Ahasuerus, and Haman, ultimately, Laharugul Abed is Kol HaYehudim. The decree has been set, the moment and the stage is set. The Jewish people are going to be wiped out, decimated, obliterated. And it's at that moment that Mordechai and Esther have a conversation. And it's that very, very minor conversation, what seems to be an innocuous conversation, that changes the momentum of Megillas Esther. And if you take a look in Perek Dalet, chapter 4, you see that Esther becomes a bit scared and a bit frightened. And Mordechai encourages her, you could do it, Esther. You're the queen. Ahasuerus loves you. The opportunity is in your hand to save the day. And Esther turns and responds to Mordechai and says, I can't do it. It's an impossibility. I have not been called to the king in 30 days, she says in Perek Dalet. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vani lo nikresi lavo lamelech zeshloshim yom. I can't just pop into his office. I can't just enter without being called. And I don't have the strength, the ability to do what you want me to do. And Mordechai hears what Esther has to say. Vayagidu leMordechai Esther Esther. Vayomer Mordechai lahashiv el Esther. Mordechai tells that Esther should be told the following thing: Al tidami bin nafsheich lihimolit beis hamelech mikol haYehudim. Says Mordechai the following: Don't think, don't imagine that you will be able to escape just because you're the queen. Don't think that you're going to be saved if you're going to hide. If you're going to be passive, if you're going to be silent and quiet, don't think that everything's going to be okay for you. And it says, Mordechai to Esther, Kim hacharesh tacharishi ba'es hazos. If you're quiet now, revach vehatzala yamod layehudim mimakom acher. Salvation will come to the Jewish people in a different way. If you don't want to be the one to stand up, if you don't want to be the one to be strong, if you're afraid, if you're going to bow out because you haven't been called in 30 days to the palace of the king and to the office of the king, well, somebody else will take care of it. Ve'atu ve'savicha toveidu. And somebody else will do the job, and you and your entire family will also become obliterated. Who knows if this is the reason that you were chosen to be queen for this moment, for this instant, that you have the opportunity, the power to save the Jewish people. And if you take a look in the commentary of the Vilna Gaon, he explains the juxtaposition in the pasuk between the decimation of Esther and her fear is because somebody's going to get the job done. It'll be Moshe, it'll be Yoshua, it'll be Eliyahu. Somebody else in the Megillah is going to become the hero or the heroine. Do you want it to be you or do you want it to be somebody else? Klal Yisrael will always be secured. And somebody will always take the stand. And somebody will always be strong. But if you don't do it, you're going to go down. And you'll go down in history as being a failure. And somebody else will become the hero and the heroine. Your entire family will be obliterated and destroyed, said Mordechai very passionately to Esther. And that's the reason the Vilna Gaon says, "Revach v'hatzalo yamo layhudim b'makom acher v'atu besavicha tovedu." You're going to be lost, you and your family, if you don't stand up. And then what occurs in the very next pasuk, Vatomer Esther lahashiv al Mordechai. Esther tells their messengers to respond to Mordechai. Lech knos es kol hayehudim hanimtzoyim b'shushan. V'tzumu alayv al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshes yomim layla v'yom. Gam ani v'narasai atzum kein. U'v'chein avo l'melech ha'shaloch hadasuch ha'sher avadati. Avadati says, Esther, I'm willing to give up my life now. I'm willing to go into the palace of the king. Let's proclaim a fast, a three-day fast. I'm going to fast and you're going to fast. And we're all going to take a proactive approach. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to be responsible. We're going to be a nar. And with that approach, Esther changes the entire story of Megillas Esther. And it's at this moment in Perek Hey where the entire Nahafochu begins. And the same way that Klal Yisrael fall apart so quickly in Parshas Kisisa, Saru Maher Menader, quickly we fall apart. Just as quickly things can turn around in the Megillah and Nahafochu. Why is the switch so quick? Because if you take a proactive, aggressive approach, if you take a strong approach, if you're willing to do what you're supposed to do and to stand up and to be strong and to serve Hashem and to respond to the call, that changes the history of Klal Yisrael, changes you, it changes your family, and it changes everything about our relationship with Hashem. Thus, Parshios Kisisa, the Haftorah and the Navi and the Sefer Malachim, and Megillas Esther speak to this reality. Passivity is the downfall of the Jew, of the Jewish people, of Klal Yisrael. It's what allowed the Egel Hazav to occur. Proactivity is what allows for the strength, the survival, the security, the continuity, and the perpetuity of the Jewish people. Hashem Hu Elokim, as Eliyahu, turns the people around, inspires them into action. And the dialogue ultimately toward the end of the fourth parak of Megillas Esther between Mordechai and Esther speaks to exactly this point, this moment. Lech knos es kol ha'yehudim. If you're not going to do it, Esther, somebody else will. You'll also go down in history as a failure. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be remembered as? And of course, it's called Megillas Esther. Because Esther responds, and she's the one who's strong, and she's the one who's not frightened, and she doesn't bow out, but she stands up, and she inspires the nation to stand up. I will fast, and you will fast. I will go into the palace of the king, Kasher Avadati, Avadati. If I'm going to fall, if I'm going to be murdered, if I'll be killed, if I'll be taken down, I'm willing to do it for my people. I'm willing to take a fall. I'm willing to be strong. I'm not going to hide. The same way Eliyahu doesn't hide. And he emerges from the Ma'ara. Ani Eliyahu, I am Elijah, I am the prophet, I'm going to face Achab, I will face Izebel. Are you with me or you're not? And this is the question, the message that each of us have to contemplate and to think and to consider. In our relationship with Hashem, in our Avodas Hashem, where are we? Are we the Esthers? Are we the Mordechais? Are we the Eliyahus? Are we the Moshes and the Yoshuas? Are we the Nar? Are we young at heart, young in spirit? Or are we learning to follow the masses and just to be passive? There's no such thing as bystander Judaism. But the goal is to be proactive and to learn and to be engaged. Yogati umatsasi tamen. The more a Jew engages, the more a Jew is involved, the more a Jew is learning and is teaching and is serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is what allows us to be the people that we can be, that we should be. And unfortunately, this was the downfall, as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains, of Saru Maher Min Adarach. We should be zochet to v'nafochu for each of us, personally, collectively, for all of Klal Yisrael. Mirtz Hashem, it should be a Purim of joy, and we should go from Geula to Geula, wishing everybody a wonderful week.